Okay, welcome back, everyone. The 39th installment of Da'as Tfila. We are still just in the beginning of the third chapter after 39 sessions together. But hey, Baruch Hashem, a little bit every week is great. We are not going to talk about Tfila tonight. We're going to learn the book Da'as Tfila, which we've been learning, but we're not actually going to talk about Tfila tonight. So I don't want to disappoint anyone. But now he's going to give us a little bit of background before he goes forward. We're discussing the fact that the three Avos lived three very different kinds of lives, which corresponded to, in effect, basically allowed for three different ways of relating to Hashem. That Avram's life related was a life where he related to the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak's life was a life where he related to the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov was this roller coaster ride where it started in darkness and it ended eventually in light. And we pointed out that when it says that the three Avos created the three Tfilos, it doesn't just mean that they happened to think of davening at different times in the day. It means that their lives were similar to these kind of times of the day. They're similar to the astronomical realities of those times of day. They're similar to what those astronomical realities say, because the Ramchal had told us that the different times of the day, what's going on in the sky, is a hint for us to have a sense of how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a particular time. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change, but he does seem to want us to relate to him in different ways in different times, just like we're in Adar now. He wants us to relate to him through joy. So what's going on in the sky is somehow gives us a hint as to the way we're supposed to relate to Hashem. And these three individuals lived lives that are very much like Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. But now, as with everything else, he's going to take the concept much deeper. That's what he seems to do in almost every chapter. He starts off with a wow, and you think that's it. And then he goes so much deeper into the idea that we didn't think that all the stuff was there. So let's see what he's going to say. Ha'avos hein hein ha'merkava. Have any of you heard of this phrase? The avos are the chariot. Right? It's a comment which we'll actually see today in context. It's a comment from Bereishis Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says, explains what this means, and we'll see it inside, that the avos are the chariot of God. See exactly what that means. Tana Rabbanan. We're going to start with an extended Gemara in Chagiga, which we don't really understand that well. But it's going to get us into the sugya today. Tana Rabbanan, there are a number of very strange dapim in Maseches Chagiga. Maseches Chagiga drifts into things, including the four rabbis who went into Pardes with Rabbi Akiva, and one went crazy and one died. A lot of very, very mystical kinds of stuff is going on Daf Yudalid, Daf Tesvav, and Chagiga. Very, very interesting stuff, and you do your best to try to understand it. Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was an incident with the very famous Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shehaya rochev al chamor. He was riding on a donkey. V'haya mahalech baderech. He's going along the way. V'Rabbi Elazar ben Arach mechamer acharav. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is coming after him. Okay? So we clearly know who is the Rebbe and who is the Talmid. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the Rebbe here. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who is a rather famous figure. When we speak of Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he's coming after him. Amar lo, Rebbe, shana li perek echad b'maisa merkava. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, could you please teach me something about the Maaseh Merkava? What in the world is the Maaseh Merkava? It's a phrase that we've heard before. What is the Maaseh Merkava? So the Maaseh Merkava consists of the first chapter of the book of Yechezkel. First chapter of the book of Yechezkel, the first thing that were recorded, the first vision that's recorded in the book of Yechezkel, where Yechezkel sees a chariot in the sky, so to speak, and some sort of a figure sitting on top of the chariot, which is supposed to represent God. What exactly is the chariot? The chariot consists of various angels, perhaps in the shape of wheels, right? We speak of Ofanim. The Ofanim v'chayot HaKodesh, the Ofanim. We also know that Ofanayim, right, is a wheel, a bicycle, right? So Ofen is a wheel of the chariot, but the wheel of the chariot is an angel. What does that mean? What is all this talking about? So we don't really know. It's the first chapter of Yechezkel. Rashi helps us a little bit on that perek, but at a certain point he says, I can't explain to you anymore. He says on one point, he says, don't even think about this when you have the God looking like a person sitting on the chariot. He says, don't even think about this pasuk. It's dangerous to think about the pasuk. So what is it doing in Sefer Yechezkel? I don't know. It's a very strange thing. We read it when? First morning of Shavuos. Right? It's a time when many people have stayed up all night, so they sleep through the Haftorah, which is good because they really shouldn't pay that much attention to the Haftorah. It's a very, very strange thing. What are we supposed to gain from that? In a metaphorical sense, the Maisa Merkava, the story of the Merkava and the idea of a Merkava is something that rests between the driver and the earth beneath it. When you have a rider, when you have someone driving a chariot, he doesn't actually sit on the ground. In fact, he doesn't actually touch the ground. There's something between him and the ground. And the only way this whole idea works out is if there's something between him and the ground. If he just sits on the floor, the whole thing doesn't work. The only way the system works is that if the person, the one driving the chariot, is lifted off and something else is between him and the ground. But it's not just a barrier. It's something that allows the system to work. It allows him to be in contact with the ground in a productive way. The idea of a Merkava, in the simplest way we can understand it, is that God is a spiritual being. This is a very, very physical world. What allows those two things which shouldn't be able to coexist? What allows them to coexist? What allows God to sit in this world? He needs a chariot. He needs something that's going to allow him to interact with the world. Now, of course, we don't understand what this means. There's no up or down. We also believe that God could do whatever he wants if he wanted to. But for some reason, God, in his infinite wisdom and his infinite holiness and infinite being separate from everything else, wants there to be somehow a chariot, something that allows him to take a seat in this physical world. Okay? When Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says to him, talk to me, teach me a perek in Maisa Merkava, he's not asking him to teach him the first chapter of Yechezkel. For that, you don't need Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and I'm sure Rabbi Elazar ben Arach had much access to the first chapter of Yechezkel. That's not what it's about. When we say Maisa Merkava, we mean, teach me about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a God that is not a physical body, teach me about the way that he interacts with the world. What's the other Maisa? That's very difficult to understand, which a phrase you've heard many, many, many more times. Maisa Bracious. Maisa Bracious. Those are the two things that really the Kabbalah is about. Maisa Bracious. How did the world come about? Maisa Merkava. How does God continue to interact with the world? Okay, that was a very basic little Kabbalah lesson. So comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Comes Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and he says to his Rebbe, teach me a little bit. I think I'm ready. Teach me a little bit about the Maisa Merkava. Amar lo lokach shanisi lachem, velo b'merkava b'yachid. Didn't I teach you the Mishnah that said that you're not allowed to teach one person the Maisa Merkava? When you're going to teach this, you need a couple of people around, because one guy could misunderstand it. He should be able to check with his friend. These kinds of teachings are dangerous to teach to anybody. You're not in a place where I could just teach you the Maisa Merkava. Ela im ken haya chacham mevin midato. person needs to be a major league. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was a major Talmid Chacham. But what he was telling him is, you're not worthy yet. I taught you that in Shir. We know that only people at a certain level are able to learn the Maaseh Merkava. Amar lo, he says to him, Lokach shaniti lachem. Oh, I'm sorry. Amar lo, Rebbe, tarsheni lomar lefanecha davar achad shelimadetani. He says, Rebbe, let me teach you something. Okay, I'll admit to you, Rebbe, I already started learning this a little bit. I'm not a novice when it comes to Kabbalah. I'm not a novice when it comes to Maaseh Merkava. Let me share something that I know with you. Amar lo, emor, he said, say, good, give a shir. Miyad yorad Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai me'alech omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gets off the donkey. V'nisatev, he covers his head. V'yoshav al evan tachas hazayis. And he sits on a rock beneath a tree. Amar lo, says Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Rebbe, mipnei ma yavadata me'alech omer. Why'd you get down? We've been having this whole conversation when we're riding together. What's going on? Amar. Efsharata doresh b'maiseh merkava. Ushchina imanu. You're going to start darshaning in Maaseh. He wasn't exactly sure what he was going to say, but he promised him he's going to start sharing some of these stuff to show what he knows already. He says, you're going to start teaching the Maaseh Merkava? Ushchina imanu? And the Shchina is going to be amongst us? Umalachei hasharis malavin osanu, and the malachei hasharis are going to come down? Vani erkav al chamor? If you're going to teach about the Maaseh Merkava, you are going to bring about a certain level of divine revelation. You're going to bring about a divine revelation of the Shechina. You're going to bring around a divine revelation of the Malachim. I got to be prepared for that. I can't be riding on a donkey when the Shechina shows up. Now, it could be you don't know anything, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. It could be you're going to tell nonsense. But just in case you actually know something about the Maaseh Merkava, we better be prepared that something's going to happen. Miyad posach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach b'maiseh merkava. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach starts telling him what he knows about the Maaseh Merkava. V'dorash, he starts darshaning, v'yorda eish min hashamayim. A fire comes down from heaven. They just pulled over to the side of the road. They're somewhere in Israel. They pull over to the side of the road. A fire comes from down from heaven, v'sivava kol ha'ilonos shebesadeh, and it suddenly makes a circle around all of the trees in the sadeh. They suddenly find themselves in a massive circle of fire. Paschu kulan v'amru shira. And suddenly, the trees inside the circle of fire start singing. Mashira amru, what did they say? Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, taninim v'chol tohomos, eitz peri v'chol razim, hallelujah. The trees start praising God, and they start saying, blessed is God, blessed is God. The whole world starts turning upside down. Na'ana malach min ha'esh, an angel then speaks out from the fire, v'omar, hein hein maisa merkava, as if the fact that a fire circled the whole place and the trees start to sing wasn't enough proof that this guy knows what he's talking about. An angel actually speaks up from the fire, and the angel says, yes, this is the Maaseh Merkava. He's got it. This guy is holding in the Maaseh Merkava. When he asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was just looking for a little bit of checking around the edges, but he wasn't a novice at all. Amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai unishako al rosho. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stands up and he kisses the student Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on his forehead. Va'amar Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is God, the God of Israel, shenasan bein la'Avram Avinu, who has given a son to Avram Avinu thousands of years later, a descendant to Avram Avinu, sheyodea lehavin velachkor velidrosh from Maaseh Merkava. Blessed is God that has seen a descendant of Avram Avinu who can actually talk about this stuff at a high level. And then he says something else. Yesh na'e doresh ve'ein na'e mekayem. There are different kinds of public speakers. There are people who are na'e doresh ve'ein na'e mekayem. Okay, they are not of one of mouth and action, mouth and heart. They are people who are good speakers. They give a good drasha. They're not so good that week in following up what they said in their own drasha. Na'e mekayem, ve'ein na'e doresh. Then there are people who are big tzaddikim, and they actually keep everything, but they're not terribly good at transmitting it to others because they're just not good speakers. Ata na'e doresh ve'na'e mekayem. You, Rebbe Elazar ben Arach, are a good teacher of Kabbalistic material and a good what? Doer of something. It's a little strange. Usually when we speak of this phrase, na'e doresh, we're talking about a rabbi saying you should talk less Lashon Hara. So the rabbi gives a whole speech about Lashon Hara, and then he's either good or not good that week in talking Lashon Hara. But what was the topic of the shir, of the drasha that he gave here? It was Maisa Merkava. If there's anything that we can't do during the following week, it's be part of the heavenly chariot. So it's a bizarre thing that he says to him. He says, you are good at explaining it, and you're good at living it. How do I live being part of the chariot? Ashrecha Avram Avinu, She'elazar ben Arach yatsa mechalatzecha. Praiseworthy are you, Avram Avinu, goes back to Avram Avinu again, that Elazar ben Arach came from your loins. Boy, is that a long passage. It took up almost the whole shir time we have here. What is going on? So he asks a few questions, our dear author. L'chora tamua, I don't understand this passage. First of all, we don't understand the Kabbalah, but just the simplest interpretation, I don't understand what's going on here. Mahu hana'e mekayem bedivrei Torah shel Maisa Merkava. How could you be mekayem Kabbalah? You're explaining the Maisa Merkava. If you're explaining the laws of Shatnez, the laws of Lashon Hara, if you're talking about doing chesed to other people, I understand. You gave a good drasha and then you went out and you followed what you said. What does it mean to follow what you're saying when you're darshaning in Kabbalah about the way God runs the world? Hatshuva, the answer. Lios hadoresh atzmo merkava l'shchina. It's a very deep idea. If you yourself can become a chariot for God to come into this world, if you yourself make God more real, more connected to this world, if you can bring his Shekhinah, what does the word Shekhinah mean? Anybody? What does Shekhinah mean? We say the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah means that Shochein, right? V'shachanti b'sofam, last week's parsha. I can come down into your world. What does it mean God can come down into our world? He can do anything he wants. He's not up there. It means to make him apparent. When we speak of the Shekhinah means that one can sense God down here. That's what it means. I felt the Shekhinah. I felt God's presence down here. By the way, almost anything you do to bring God's presence down here is going to cheapen him in a certain way. Because really, he's nothing. There's nothing that we could do to possibly understand him or sense him or anything like that. And yet, he decided he wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to sense him, to know him a little bit. And therefore, he wants to come into the world in some way. How does he come into the world? He decided that he requires a chariot. He decided that he needs something else to help him connect. He doesn't need anything. But the way he created the world, he created it as such that he's the rider, but somebody's got to hold him up. Somebody's got to be the chariot. Something has to be the chariot. On one level, the chariot are the angels. The angels, what's a malach? A malach is a messenger. That's exactly what it is. He doesn't interact directly, so to speak. He sends a messenger. But there's another way that something can be a merkava. And that is to act in a way that allows people to understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To act in a way that allows people to understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. L'hiyos hadoresh atzmo merkava l'shchina. That the person himself who talks about how God wants, how God tries, we're trying to find the right word, how God minimizes himself to show his face in this world, you yourself could become a chariot for that. And we'll learn how to do that in the next page. And that's why then you'll be called a child of Avram Avinu. Harishon Shenikra Merkava L'Shechina, who was the first one to be a Merkava to the Shechina, a chariot for the Shechina. The Pasuk says, this is where this idea comes from. In Parshas Vayera, it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves Avram, he came to visit Avram, Avram was sick, he comes to visit him, he gives him good news. The Pasuk then says, Vaya'al Elokim Me'al Avraham. God lifted up from upon Avraham. And says the Medrash, these four words, which are such a phenomenal idea. Ha'avos, hein hein, ha'merkava. What does it mean that he lifted up from Avraham? It meant he was sitting on Avram's shoulders. Avraham gave him access to touch the ground. Avraham allowed God to become more visible in this world. Harishon Shenikra Merkava L'Shechina. He was the first one that was called that. What did the Avos do? What did the Avos do? By their very nature, when people looked at them, they saw godliness. They saw godliness. We can't look God in the face. A person can't see God and live. But if we can live godly lives, it allows God to descend into this world, and it allows people to see in our faces and in our actions what God is about, what it is that God cares about, what it is that God, so to speak, is. That's a massive responsibility. A massive responsibility. But that's what the Avos did. That's what the Avos did. Because we couldn't even begin to fathom God until we had a man of God, until we had an Avraham to help us find out, figure out how to get access to the idea of God. Ki al yadam, because through their hands, hashchina shora ba'aretz. Through their hands, the shchina comes down. V'hashchina hi aleihem. It's almost as if the shchina's resting on their shoulders. And if they wouldn't be standing there, then the Shechina wouldn't be able to get that close. It wouldn't be able to touch the world. Ulefikach hem kisei l'shechina u'merkavto. Gur Aryeh is who? The Maharal's super commentary on Rashi. Okay? U'kishayorda eish me'ashamayim b'siviv v'kol ha'ilonos, gilui Shechina, ra Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kiyom shel merkava. What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mean when he told his student, you are doing the Merkava. You're not only a good teacher for Merkava, the Merkava course, but you are a good representative of the Merkava. Why? Because when the fire came down and the angels came down, so Elozar ben Arach served in the role that the Avos once played. He now became a landing spot for the Shechina. He became something or someone who allowed the Shekhinah to descend into this world, even though sometimes it feels like it doesn't belong here. This very, very deep idea is what we're going to have to continue to investigate next week. I said we're going to take us a little bit of a detour, but that's what he does in every chapter. He starts with like an idea which itself is a wow, that each of the avos corresponds to one of the tefillos, corresponds to one of the times of the day. But now he's going to take this much, much deeper. What is our responsibility to mimic God? What is our responsibility? It seems so silly to us. God needs me. God needs us. God needs the Jewish people to allow himself to come into the world. God, just do whatever you want. It's not the way he created it. He created it in a way that only we can somehow bring him into the world. Only we have the power to do that. And we'll see how we're charged to do that, not simply in general, but specifically three times a day. Okay, I wish everybody a Freilich and Purim. If anybody wants the recording of last night's shiur, please feel free to WhatsApp me. And have a good Purim. We'll see you next week at Mitzvah Hashem.
Freilich and Purim. Thank you.
Happy Purim. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Happy Purim.